Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? Of the NFL season. Amazing Sunday today. We got Erica Lynn Anderson with us today. I'm Oscar Lopez, your host, and we are diving into the Week 16 scenarios of the playoffs for the NFL with a dramatic late drive. Cam Newton and the Panthers headed to the playoffs, and they have a shot, obviously, at finishing the season as NFC South champs. They'll get to take on New Orleans next week. That's some of the scenarios there. You also had the Patriots clinching their ticket into the playoffs, and they're beating, obviously, the Ravens today big time, over 20 points. And I think the Ravens are probably going to score a field goal at this point for that. So, Erica, are you on? It's a Week 16 craziness.
It is. Hi, everybody.
It's been I'm pretty sure you're a happy girl right now, smiles and all, given everything that's going on with the Ravens and Pats.
It is, and the Ravens actually just attempted a field goal, which was no good. So I'm very happy.
And getting the shutout there, you would expect, obviously, Baltimore to play tougher, given it's a playoff push at this point, but that's not the case. Obviously, the Pats came to play today. And then was it it wasn't Amendola. Was Amendola the one that was injured again?
No, it was Vereen. I didn't see Amendola,
Vereen.
But Vereen was hurt, and McCourty was hurt today.
Oh, wow. So going into the playoffs, I mean, that week bye is going to really help them kind of just heal up a little bit.
It is, yeah. We're pretty injured right now, so that's what we're hoping.
Now, in Denver, I heard at this point from my notes, Peyton Manning from the red zone, 51, I think, touchdowns on the season. So Brady probably still on course to, another week. He might end up eclipsing that, even though Manning just got that.
Yeah, I wasn't real happy when I heard about that, to be honest.
they're pretty competitive each other. They're always neck and neck for some sort of record. So, but he's a good quarterback, so he deserves it actually. And like he said on his interview, it's more likely it's going to be Brady to beat it at some point within the next week if not next season.
Yeah, and the thing about it, too, is that Peyton Manning isn't, like, a jerk or an a-hole, so it's not like, it would have been worse if some idiot would have broke it, but it's Peyton Manning, so it doesn't make me feel too bad. So.
Yeah, and the Cowboys went against the Redskins last minute. Everybody on Twitter was saying to me, hey, is the Cowboy Nation going to clean house at this point? Is Jerry Jones going to, like, literally blow up this team again? And but they sort of came back. To fight and win the NFC East, so they got to play the Eagles, of course, and I think they got to play the Eagles for the title, division title. Even though the Eagles are playing Chicago tonight on Sunday night, that's kind of interesting there to see how that's going to pan out. It's going to be Philadelphia playing Chicago on Sunday Night Football, right? This week, yeah, that's what it is. So that's going to be interesting to see how the NFC East plays out itself.
Yeah, it will be interesting. Yeah, the Redskins just kind of came. They just kind of didn't do anything, this year, and they just kept losing the big ones. And, it's not going to surprise me if, Shanahan's fired and they really kind of maybe clean house themselves. So.
Yeah, and the whole East division has been a mess all year. I mean, the Giants going on on the South, you have the Redskins – with this internal you know, coach and quarterback issue. You have the Giants, the Cowboys with the ups and downs and being inconsistent. Philadelphia with the quarterback change and, the Chip Kelly. And I think you'd have to consider their season a success, even if they don't make a run for a playoff spot, because first you're in and he's already put them back in a contention mode.
Yeah, it is. That division has just been pretty much a crapshoot all year.
Yeah, and then, we can't take away the Broncos clinching the West soundly by beating Houston, and that's like another beat down on Houston. So a lot of things going to have to happen in Texans land next season.
Yeah.
With the draft being the primary focus right now, and then a coaching change,
yeah,
and who's going to come in there and take care of that. I wouldn't be surprised if Shanahan got hired and got dragged to Houston, but we'll see how that works. The rumors have it might be Gruden, but I doubt he's going to come out of the TV booth.
Yeah, right. That'd be weird.
I think he's too comfortable there. The Texans' big questions.
Yeah. How about the Colts beating the Chiefs 23-7?
I wasn't so surprised at that point. I think, the Colts are a good team. Kansas City is the most surprising thing, I think, for me. Going into the playoff mode, I think they've gotten to their situation where their schedule's gotten a little tougher, and their competition has gotten better, and now they're being tested, late round, and now we see the two Chiefs, and we'll see how they actually play out within the next week.
Yeah, I was surprised by how badly they lost. I think not that the Colts necessarily beat them because the Colts are a good team, but I was surprised that the Chiefs' offense only scored 7 points. But I think you're right. I think, and the Chiefs need to be careful because they're getting in this mold now where, they're losing some games and they can't carry that into the playoffs. So obviously they'll be eliminated. So they need to take a step back and reevaluate and get back to what they were doing at the beginning of the year, even though their schedule was a little bit easier. But they were handily beating some of these teams. So I think they need to kind of get back to what they were doing before and slow it down and just kind of get their confidence back, or, we're not going to see much of them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I was more impressed today, I think, with anything was Cam Newton and bringing his team back this season and putting him in the playoffs since, 2008. So I think it shows a lot of, durability for him getting into the playoffs. And obviously they're basically the bye now, which is a huge accomplishment for them, because Philadelphia, Chicago, and I think San Francisco and New Orleans are the only the wild card to Frisco and New Orleans at this point, I think. And Philadelphia and Chicago are right there on the cusp in terms of the division, winning their division. But you can't say enough about Cam Newton the season and bringing them back and then taking care of the South, the NFC South. At this point, they have an opportunity to win it, even though they've already clinched a playoff berth.
Yeah, I know. So they have been a surprise this year for sure. Not a good surprise for me because I'm not a big fan. But you can't deny that they have done something there that has been a recipe for success. So, the Saints kind of were beating everybody and doing everything. The Saints just have really not been doing well this towards the last part of the season. So it'll be interesting to see what they do here, next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and if they win out against the Falcons next week, which they should, that would give them the division. Because technically the way Atlanta's been playing, so they would get the division. And a loss, and a Saints loss to Tampa Bay, New Orleans obviously has a tiebreaker, so they could have, New Orleans could have clinched the division and gotten a first-round bye with the win against Carolina today, but that didn't happen. So, the Saints have literally buried themselves into a position where they're in a wild card mode instead of being in a first round bye.
Exactly, yeah.
So we will go into some notes and news and notes about the women's game and then go back to the NFL at this point for Sunday. If you guys aren't familiar with our format, we usually interview women's gridiron players. Their seasons are going to kick off in March through November, so of next 2014. So we encourage anybody that wants to come on our show, talk about women's football or football in general. You guys can email us at gridironbeauties@gmail.com. We'll set you up on the show with myself and Erica. and we'll talk football, and that's what we do. We love football. We want to talk football. The women's game, the action this weekend that happened is in Mexico, the first championship of the LIBF, the Liga Iberoamericana Bikini Football. Their championship was in Cuernavaca, Michoacán, last night, and we want to thank Dario de Morales, which is on Twitter, and OscarML16, as well as AYM Sports in Mexico for telecasting the tweetcast for us on Gridiron Beauties on Twitter. We appreciate them doing all the excitement and bringing the excitement on a tweetcast mode. And the Heat de Morales, the ladies 39-22 victorious over Diosis Aztecas, and you can find the updates on Facebook and on Instagram, as well as on our Twitter feed line if you go back as of yesterday. So congratulations to them. Heats de Morales defeat the Diosis Aztecas, and they become the first champions of the inaugural LIBF Bowl. And the league is growing. It's in buzz mode. It's not as equivalent or enlarged fan base following yet as like the Legends Football League, but it's getting to that stage in Mexico. They're on the road right now to get a contract with TV Azteca. They're working on that for 2014. Hopefully that's going to pan out for them, and you're going to see LIBF bowl games as well as regular season games on TV Azteca, and that gets it on the U.S. in the U.S. as well as the markets in the Americas, South and North America. So congratulations to them for a successful season and to the Heat de Morales for their big win. The next game that was on last night was in Perth, Western Australia, and that was the Legends Football League matchup, and that took place between the Angels and the number one ranked LFL Surge behind Chloe Butler and Monique Gaxiola. They went into Perth. The Angels were coming off the tough loss that was on LFL on 7-8, which everybody saw in Australia. The Maitens taking on the Angels. The Maitens squeezing by a 32-26 win against the Angels. So the Angels were coming off a rebound game, if you want to call it. They close lost in Melbourne, taking on the Surge, who had beaten in the opener the Queensland Brigade 44-6. So Surge on a high coming in, thinking that they're going to steamroll over the Angels. Angels coming off a rebound, hard loss to the Maitens. And the Angels last night took care of business 20-18 on a last couple seconds in the fourth quarter to score and pretty much beat the top-notch defensive front of the Surge. 2018, Angels led by, obviously, Leah Turnbull and Adrian Purnell, which is an LFL All-Fantasy star from the Jacksonville Breeze. So the girls take care of business. Angels are 1-1, and the season is very short. It's only a four-game season, so every game is a playoff mode, crucial game. And right now, the Surge fall to 1-1, so that means the Surge will face next week. The Surge will host the LFL Maitens coming off the big win against the Angels, 32-26, and we'll see who stands out. The Maitens is an all-Aussie team. There's no U.S. imports from the Legends Football League, and so they're showing their true colors in there. Their quarterback, Penelope Kula-Reed, played a good game against the Angels, as well as Jules Parker. And last night, Leah Turnbull, Nicole Harvey, as well as Adrian Purnell played a really good game against the Surge. The Surge, basically the best defensive team that I've seen so far this season, alongside, obviously, Mally Vogelherder, and you also have Monique Axiola, Chloe Butler, to name a few of the stoppers there. And their quarterback, obviously, Jacinda Barclay, has played a good game there, too. So they're going to be facing the Maitens, like I said, and they have a good runner in Jules Parker. The Surge, obviously, coming off that huge win against the Brigade, and Bonnie Gillespie is huge historic opening game. So it's going to be Bonnie Gillespie against the Jules Parker squad of the Maitens. So it should be a good game, a good clash. So if you're in Centrobet over in Penrith, you should get to see the game. It's going to be a very good game, Surge versus Maitens. And that's going to put the Maitens at 1-1 after this game, or it's going to be 2-0. And if they go up 2-0, like I said, this is historic for them, especially in the first season of LFL Australia, because if they go 2-0, This is an all-Aussie squad. There's no import Americans on here, so that's going to bode well for the fan following in Melbourne and as well for the league, because you're talking homegrown girls undefeated in the – so it's going to be a great venue on that. So that's LFL Australia Legends Football League, and that was on 7/8. So if you haven't catched it, we will give you the link feed to the YouTube. Legends Football League has not released the YouTube matchup between the Maidens and Angels yet, so we'll look out for it and then put it on our timeline. The big news, Erica, was this weekend for the week. Legends Football League last week on their first game, or 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, on their first game, they did not let a player, Michaela Parrott we're talking about, did not let a player suit up after the player had participated with the team functions for about 18 months. They come to game day, which was the first game of the kickoff season, Surge against Brigade, and she plays for the Brigade or played for the Brigade, and she was not allowed to suit up because she was not in criteria mode for the Legends Football League body type. So there was a show on Australia Studio 10 that brought up the young lady. She posted her case about how she was never told that obviously she wasn't the right fit under the criteria. She's very fit. She's got a body-built, weightlifter-type built body, and she's a good fit for a center or for a lineman position up in the front line, especially on a 7-7 mode. Unfortunately, she was told by LFL personnel that she would not be able to suit up against the Brigade, and she wasn't the right fit for the league. Mitchell Mortaza, the owner, came out to address the issue on Studio 7 to combat some of the comments that was made by Michaela Parrott, and he obviously did not do a very good job of putting together a good state for his league, because he basically said, this is not the body type we want, and basically wasted this young lady's 18-month time with the team. So I don't know what your feelings are on that, but he just didn't do justice to come on if you're not going to defend a good state, and why not let her play if she is fit, which he claimed she was, and why not let her play if she's capable of playing, which she is, because she passed every combine that the LFL fitness portion of it was. So it's kind of crazy to think that they're judging her on a different type of body type.
Yeah, it's, I know we talked about this earlier, but it's just, is this an athletic league or is this a modeling league? A modeling league, I could say, okay, you judge them based on their body type, weight, skin, all that stuff. I mean, that's a part of modeling, if you will. This is for the way they market it and the way, and I know what the women wear, but, this is a contact sport. These women are playing football. They're athletic. They train and they work hard. And to tell her that she can't play after putting in all that work because of her body type is criminal. It's horrible. And to make the comparison with the sumo wrestler not running track, and when we talked about it, a sumo wrestler can't run track essentially because they're not fit to run track. I mean, we all know what sumo wrestlers look like. They're not out there sprinting the 100 or running the mile. But obviously spending 18 months with the team, athletically, she is in there with all of them. The coaches are obviously think she's worth keeping around. And I cannot believe that they would do this. And what they're doing is they're alienating women. And they're alienating women from trying out, from wanting to participate, and from even wanting to watch or support this league when you do things like this. So they're going to find that they actually just created a whole bunch of trouble for themselves, because there's going to be some pretty upset people.
Yeah, the big drawback to me is, we support the ladies obviously playing in the league. We've always had an issue with the ownership. We've always had an issue with the management style of the ownership. I think the bottom line here is Mitchell Mortaza really needs to set forth, if he has not set forth the criteria, which would be height and weight, as some of the panel on Studio 10 had mentioned. If you don't set the criteria coming in as to what kind of body type you're looking for, maybe be 5'10", 180 pounds, or 5'10", 200 pounds, then you're giving ladies a false sense of accomplishment because you're literally letting them try out, do their thing. The coaches apparently thought that she was okay because she went through an NFL combine. And then, lo and behold, you know, you go into the first game, she's totally excited to display her, you know, her performance out there and her work and everything else on the first game of a historic launch of this league in her home country of Australia, of all places, and all of a sudden to be told that she's not obviously capable or not within the body type that the league wants. So I think they made a mistake there, a huge mistake on their part, especially when they've decided to promote this league as non-soft porn and true, legit football. And I think that if she's able to compete on the field, then she should have been allowed at least to play that one game. And if she wasn't going to go forward into that motion, then they would have addressed it separately there and explained to her why she can't go forward with it. But if they would have allowed her to play the first game, they would have been in a world hurt anyways because now they've allowed her to play. And now that they did not allow her to play, now the perception is that obviously this league is not a true sports league as they claim. Now they're mm-hmm. neglecting certain body types. So either way, they created themselves a huge black hole here. They could have addressed it from the beginning. In other words, they should have addressed the coaches at the beginning and said, you know, who are your players? Or they could have scoped them and then figured out that they had to weed her out way before the roster was set. And if she wasn't on the roster before that, this wouldn't have even been an issue at all.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they're going to possibly face some legal repercussions or trouble from this. I don't know.
I know her father.
Yes or no, but
her father is a big proponent of that. Her father was not happy. I mean, he's she didn't even have a car. She was actually having people transport her to practices. That's how dedicated she was.
Wow. I feel for this young woman. I just can't imagine the disappointment you'd feel after putting that much work into something, put all your heart and then to be told, you know, disqualified, not based on your performance, because any athlete can say, okay, well, I'll work at it and I'll try harder to ramp up my game. But to be disqualified on something as trivial as the way, you know, her body type, her heart just must be just broken or, you know, just must have sunk. I can't believe it.
Yeah, and she was emotionally devastated like anybody else would. And now it's just, you know, now, like I said, the league, you can't patch it up either way. If you go positive on this, you can't. If you're already negative on it, and people are going to perceive that. And the Australian media was already, you know, they already had the feminist, you know, when they first started the league, they launched the league, you had feminist groups on their backs, and this just fuels them because obviously now they've confirmed it. They confirmed that obviously the ownership or the owner has never set a criteria as to what kind of body type they need. And they allow this person or this player to participate, and all of a sudden now they're telling her she's not the right type. So which is really, it's a policy and procedure issue. He either needs to put this going forward in writing, and he needs to address it with his coaches. He needs to address it with the league personnel to make sure that this never happens again. And I'm hoping that he will do that because that's the right thing to do. And showing up on TV and telling somebody that a sumo wrestler doesn't do track, I just didn't feel that was the right response from a head of a league that claims to be similar to the NFL, which at this point's not even the case. But that's how he comes across, and I think he needs to be mm-hmm. he needs to step up and he needs to address it and set a criteria in writing so that everybody else below him needs to follow it, and we don't have this incident ever happen again with another person and crush somebody else's hopes.
Yeah, definitely.
The other bad news in this women's gridiron week, which was all bad news, I guess, at this point, besides the exciting games, the Women's Indoor Football League was supposed to launch in 2014. Ray Blanchett Sports Holdings is the responsible party for the WIFL. They came up in a storm the last 8 months in a hype mode. They took away some of the Legends Football League players that quit the Legends Football League. They claimed that they were going to be a true professional women's football league. They were going to put up a number of teams. They put themselves in a position where they felt that they were capable of putting full kit women's gridiron on the map in the U.S., in the arena stadiums. They brought up on board, you know, a lot of stars. Kara Vargas, to name a few, Rick Reeder, former coaches of the LFL. You had Tia Nipper, who played for the Cleveland Crush prior to that. Jonathan Ragus was one of the key figures with promoting and participating in getting the league up and running. He was even named interim president. Fortunately, I got a letter from one of the sources in the league that during the week that some of the players had posted on their Facebook pages, which was Kara Vargas to begin with and Tia Nipper to start with, that they were no longer participating in this league because they were given some internal information that the league was obviously vaporware from what we are told, which is a horrible sign because everybody was up and up with this league to succeed. And now we're hearing all these internal rumors that this league is not legit, that the ownership was never intended to get it up and running from what we're told. I had the president or the interim president send me a release statement today that we posted on Facebook stating that obviously he was disappointed that he misled all these people with tryouts and misled everybody that he was working with in terms of sponsors and advertisers about this league. It's a huge blow because everybody had high hopes. I'm in awe. I'm in shock that Blanchard Sports Holdings would stoop to this level, especially with everything that was going positive. And apparently, that's not the case. We had rumors prior to this that this was the case. We did not want to believe it, but I will tell you right now, based on my contacts. The whole time, everybody had doubts, and now, unfortunately, those are true. So it's just a bad situation for women's football.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to change, but it's horrible in that sense for them.
Yeah, I feel bad. Again, those women, their hopes are crushed. To get that kind of news, that's horrible. I feel so bad for these people.
Yeah, and the whole bad part about it is, trustworthy. There is no trust here. That's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
These folks are putting up, this league, and then everybody trusting in this one individual that had so much, hopes to say, and he'd come out and basically say that we're going to make this happen, we are going to do this, we're going to commit to this, we're going to take care of this. And to have that not happen and to be, I don't want to call it shafted, but to be disappointed would be the word. I guess it's a big blow for everybody. So now, you can say whatever you want to say about Legends Football League, and, we've all had our points, and I'll have mine as well. But I will have to tell you, that you would still have to give credit to Mitchell Mortaza for putting together a brand that has stood the test of time for 4 years. And he has international TV coverage. He has pretty much on YouTube, he's put up his brand up there. So hate him or don't, even if you don't like him as a person for whatever reason, you still have to give him his credit due for the fact that he does have Women's Gridiron on a 7-on-7 program. And he has it on major international television on a showing, even if it's on free for air. So it's more than anybody else has done with it in the women's game. And we're hoping that this season, and the next coming seasons, with USA Football now hooked up with the USA Women's team, that more people will be inclined, ESPN3 to start with, or other regional TV outlets, will consider televising, women's gridiron football in terms of top teams like the WFA, IWFL, so that we can put the Full Kit brand on the market, on the state. And we talked about, talked to Steve, remember, Steve McCarron of the Seattle Majestics. We talked about the marketing part and everything else. So we're hoping that, the WFA or the IWFL will take a lead there with USA Football and really put women's gridiron Full Kit in a good state. I know in Australia, they are doing streamline games on the Australian scene with the men's kit obviously having that already. So they're going to put together the FGLQ, the Gridiron Victoria, and all the leagues in Australia are going to try to do the streamline, which they're trying to structure their finances right now to cover the cost for that. So it's a good aspect there. It needs to be done in the U.S. because we're the premier, you know, home for the sport, I think, if it's done that way. So very disappointed that the WIFL did not work out. So everybody else also is very disappointed. So that's pretty much the news and notes. Tryouts for the women's game are still ongoing. So you can follow us on Twitter, and you can follow the Maritime Women's Football League at MWFL, the Western Women's Canadian Football League at WWCFL, the Women's Football Alliance at WFA Football, the IWFL at IWFL on Twitter, the Italian Football League, which is at CIFAS, and obviously in England, you can also follow at BAFA Women for all the latest news on what's happening there in the Gridiron Game, which it's taken off as well, just like in Australia. So for all the news and notes on that, and we had a good announcement this week as well, the Guam Women's Tackle Football League will stay with 8 teams for the upcoming season in 2014. So congratulations to them. And they will stay with 8 teams just like they did the year before. And I think that's a good set for them. Just keep it at 8 and grow the participation there. And Guam is a good setting for that, and they're an affiliate of the IWFL. So getting back to the NFL, Erica, we have obviously Denver winning, clinching. You have a couple game scenarios here going on right now. You had Kansas City, like we talked about, not, you know, playing their best football. Did we get an update for Seattle, Arizona? I know Arizona was winning before we came on
air. Arizona won. Final score, Cardinals 17, Seahawks 10. So, yes,
well, it's not such a big blow for Seattle, I guess, but it is a huge win for Arizona.
But you know what it does? What is I think it snaps their home winning streak, because they had, you know, that big long streak at home, and the Cardinals just snapped that. So, and apparently, they had a 14-game home winning streak, and I believe it is Russell Wilson's first loss at home. So.
Yeah, and we had talked about it the week before with Scott, remember, and we said, and I think he's the one that brought it up and said that Arizona was a tough team, that they were, you know, they were a good team. And now they've proven it, obviously beating them, especially at home, like you said, in the 12th man, and giving Russell Wilson his first loss. It's a statement game for them. They played them really tough, and now they showed that on the road they can go and win it. Well, that's it. And Bruce Arians, you got to give him credit. I think he's done a great job this year.
Yeah. So that's I think one of the bigger shockers this week was the Cardinals beating the Seahawks.
Did Green Bay pull it out against Pittsburgh?
You know what? Green Bay and Pittsburgh are tied at 31, 2-minute warning. So it's close. It could go into overtime essentially. So.
Yeah, and that's a huge game if we're talking implications right now, because at the beginning we talked about Chicago on the cusp here, because in Philadelphia. So if Green Bay wins, I believe that puts them in a situation where they would play the Bears, I guess, next week for the NFC North title.
Yeah,
if the Bears
win
tonight
win today,
Philadelphia.
Yeah, because if the Bears lose tonight and the Packers win, wouldn't they still have to play each other for the title?
Yeah, exactly
right?
What I'm saying. You're right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
If the Packers win and the Bears win, they still have to play each other. So either way, I think they're playing each other for the title. Because the Lions...
That's
going to
be a good matchup.
Well, the Lions... Yeah. The Lions are tied with the Giants right now. So...
Yeah, and I think that's a good we have that matchup next week, right, which is for the NFC North. And I think you have Dallas-Philly for the NFC East. So the NFC is really coming down to the last week, basically. That's where
it
boils down to right now. Yeah, the last week. Who would have thought even Dallas was going to be in the mix? So we'll see. We'll see how Dallas reacts. Philadelphia has been playing good ball. And then if Chip Kelly can win the NFC East, that's going to be a huge credit coming off of college first season, and taking his team mm-hmm. with a backup quarterback, not even with the starting quarterback he was supposed to have, and putting
yeah.
himself in a division win into the playoffs. I mean, you got to
yeah.
give him a lot of credit.
Yeah. Well, and another real divisional. Okay, so the Bengals won today, big. The Ravens are losing to the Pats 20-7 right now. Pats are in the red zone as we speak. But if the Ravens lose, the Bengals won, the Ravens would be 8-7. The Bengals are 10-5. And the Steelers are 6-8. So they're really close there. So that division is still, the Bengals and the Ravens, I think, will have to play each other, won't they?
Yeah, and that might be the case. We're talking because you're saying that if Pittsburgh wins, then that means because coming in it was Cincinnati third seed and Baltimore sixth seed, right? And you had Pittsburgh
yeah.
looking on the outside in, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because in the Ravens, I mean, there's a team left in the game and they're still losing 20-7. The Pats are in the red zone. So it's pretty safe to say the Ravens lose today. Which puts them at 8-7. The Bengals are 10-5. I don't think the divisional title's there for the Ravens. It's not within reach. So I think the Bengals, don't they clinch if the Ravens lose?
Yeah, the Bengals
then,
would win out at this point. And then next
yeah.
week we would see a Baltimore-Pittsburgh for the wild card. So it would
for
be a battle.
Card,
if Pittsburgh wins
card,
today,
yeah.
Baltimore loses,
mm-hmm.
the next week would be a crucial games for both of them in terms of who gets into the wild card.
Yeah, so as of right now, all of the AFC divisions are cinched up.
Yeah,
so,
for the most part,
Denver
all of them. Because you have Broncos,
yeah.
and yeah, you have Broncos, New England.
Colts and Bengals.
And Cincinnati.
So AFC, yep. So the AFC divisions are won. NFC not, yeah, NFC is still wide open. Because officially
yeah,
Seattle has not clinched their division yet. So.
Now they clinched the playoff. They won their playoff berth because of their record
yeah.
of number of games. But they
yeah,
haven't
so
won their division.
They have
so
a wild card.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And it would be San Francisco to lose tonight for them for Seattle to clinch, if I'm correct.
Exactly. And they play the Falcons. So if the 49ers win tonight, that puts 49ers at 11-4. Seattle's at 12-3, aren't they? Which then
mm-hmm.
means they're within a game. They'd have to play for the NFC West, right?
Yeah.
Or no? Does that
yeah.
work?
Yeah. I mean, it would be
okay.
a battle the last week, depending on what happens right now. If San Francisco loses, then Seattle is probably going to win it. They'll win it tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll get the division title.
Okay.
Because obviously that's a one loss. If San Francisco wins, then it's a race. It's a race between the two of them as to, the tiebreaker deciding who the division champ will be. And then you have to
yeah.
throw in Arizona in the mix now. I mean, you can't
yeah.
not because New Orleans, I believe, was at 8-6 or is it 9-6, if
yeah.
I'm right? New Orleans,
so,
I think, would get bumped out if Arizona win. They won today, so.
Well, the Saints are, 10-5? Let me see. Yeah, I think the
yeah,
Saints are 10-5.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So 10-5, and then Arizona coming in was 10-6, right?
9-5. No?
Oh, 9-5.
It's hard to tell if these have updated from, reflecting today.
Yeah. Well, the only thing is Arizona
yeah.
would have to win their last game, and then everything else would have to play out whether they're in or they're not. And that was one of the tweets I got
yeah.
today on Twitter saying it would be kind of a shame to have a 10 game winning season in Arizona and not make the playoffs. That would be just
I know they play San Francisco next week.
Ending. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. It's like Arizona has played Seattle so tough, like the result today,
mm-hmm.
and they've always played San
yeah.
Francisco tough. So the chances of them
yeah.
winning next week would literally put them in the playoffs. But,
mm-hmm.
the scenario also plays out that if San Francisco wins today and New Orleans
mm-hmm.
– so somehow, you know, gets chosen over them for whatever reason, it's gonna be, that would be a very bad, you know, ending for Arizona, given they've won double-digit wins. You would think they'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that they're in the NFC West, where everybody else has literally double-digit wins ahead of them, Seattle and San Francisco, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And so the Panthers clinched a wild card as well. They're officially in the playoffs. So so right now in the NFC, all you have officially in the playoffs are the Seahawks and the Panthers.
Yeah, as of today, right? As of today.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And the NFC South is close, really close. So.
Yeah, the big deal will be the NFC East. Who comes out of that, and where are they going to get seated?
Mm-hmm.
Which would be, I think, third. If they win there, if Philly takes care of Dallas, they would be seated third. So that means they would face sixth, and number six at this point would be New Orleans, or it might even be San Francisco knocking New Orleans out, or even Arizona. So we're, you know, New Orleans, Arizona, and San Francisco are playing basically for the fifth and sixth spots. So next week, it's very crucial. It's going to be a crucial game. If Chicago wins today against San Francisco, it's going to be a crucial game for Arizona and San Francisco next week, based on seeding, not so much division title, as to where they get seeded, fifth or sixth. And one of them two might even knock off New Orleans if New Orleans somehow cannot win next week.
Yeah.
So it's a mess in the NFC.
It's way more.
It's a mess.
It is, yeah. There's so many ifs or ands and maybes in the NFC. Not so much the AFC. It's a little more clear there. But it's because nobody, like I said, in the AFC, nobody's clinched home field. Not even Denver has clinched home field yet. We'll have to see that till next week. So, which should be interesting. So they'll probably clinch it, though.
So now,
I'm assuming Denver does it.
We talked about New England being hard up for injuries. I know, you know, we talked about everybody's pretty much hard up for injuries at this point in the season. But for the most part, you know, if we just recall back up here, the Monday night game is going to be Atlanta versus against Atlanta versus San Francisco, right? This coming week. I have it wrong. Yeah. Chicago against Philly tonight. I thought it was Frisco.
Yeah.
For some reason. Anyways, Chicago versus Philly tonight. So Philadelphia has to win to get in, basically. That's the motion right now. If they don't win to get in, then that means they have to play Dallas next week to get in. So that was my mistake on there. I was looking at the seeding at the same time I was trying to figure out the schedule for Sunday night. My mistake there.
Okay.
So Chicago versus the Eagles tonight. So Eagles must win to get in. Chicago wins. They pretty much would have, I believe if they win the division, because you said Green Bay was losing, because Green Bay and Detroit have to win. It would be Chicago for NFC North next week if Green Bay and Detroit win today. So I know Detroit lose.
They are in overtime right now. Detroit's in overtime with the Giants. And the Giants, I think, let me check here. They're in overtime. The Giants are ahead 23-20, so they're not in sudden death yet. So it must have been first possession. The Giants scored a field goal, so then the Lions get a chance. Because it only ends if on first possession if you score a touchdown. So since the Giants scored a field goal, now the Lions get a chance with the ball. That is what's happening.
So
right now.
That means Chicago coming into it today, it would be if Green Bay and Detroit win today, Chicago would have to play Green Bay next week for the title. But if Detroit loses and Green Bay wins, I'm assuming Chicago, based on the tiebreaker, I believe Chicago has beaten Green Bay already twice, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
So hopefully that they would clinch their division.
Okay. Well,
from what I can tell.
The Steelers, there's a minute 25 left in the game, and the Steelers just scored a touchdown. So it's 38-31, Steelers winning with a minute 25 left.
So there you go. So Chicago
Packers
needs to win to win the division, I guess, because they both Green Bay and Detroit lost. So
They haven't officially lost, but yes. I mean, it's looking like they're losing. And so if they both lose, all the Bears need to do is win and they clinch.
Yeah. That's the scenario. So let's look at Monday night. Atlanta will take on San Francisco, and the scenario there is almost as messy as this one. Atlanta really not fighting for anything, but just some sort of salvage game or just to put somebody, you know, out of misery. So Atlanta needs to play well just to see what next season looks like. And San Francisco in a must-win on Monday night because given Seattle loss, Arizona is now in the mix. So they can't, if they lose, then Arizona literally moves into that tiebreaker mentality. And I know Arizona's played them well, and they get to play them next week. So it's kind of like their adversary is already facing them in the face. You know what I mean? It's like they go Monday night, they got to do their thing, they win, and then the next week they got to face the team that obviously is going to put them in or out of the playoffs, which is kind of an interesting game, how it works out.
Oh, the Lions are eliminated from playoff contention with an overtime loss to the Giants. The Lions can't even win. The Lions are eliminated. So
that leaves Arizona, Green Bay, and Dallas for the hunt for the wild card.
Yep.
Given they lost right now. So if Green Bay loses, they would get eliminated, and it would only leave Arizona and Dallas fighting for a spot. What would boil down to. And then if Chicago wins against Philly tonight, then obviously Chicago would win the division, the NFC North.
So if the 49ers win tonight, they're automatically in, right?
If the Niners don't play until Monday.
Or if they win, if they win on Monday.
They win on Monday, they should get in because they're fifth seed right now. I'm assuming they would get in. So it would be Arizona's game the week after. It's a must-win for Arizona just to bump off either New Orleans or, you know, New Orleans, to bump off New Orleans off the sixth seed and for them to get into the playoffs.
Yep.
So it's a big, you know, big week for Arizona. I mean, they played so well. They take care of Seattle. And if they go into next week and take care of San Francisco, those are big two statement games going to a playoff. I mean, you're talking a hot red playoff team. Kind of similar to what the Giants did when they were like 9-7, or they're peaking at the right time. In other words, and even with Fitzgerald not playing so hot down the stretch here, who would have thunk? Like I said, who would have thunk it that Carson Palmer? So you'd have to give credit to Bruce Arians for turning around this Arizona team in a good double-digit win season.
Yeah, you do. And the Patriots game is winding down, 159, and they scored some more, so they're winning 33-7. So,
I don't believe they were angry today. Were they angry today? Just kidding.
The Patriots?
Yes, the Patriots. Were they angry today?
I think they're looking, you know, they want to finish strong. I wouldn't say angry, but I think last week, you know, I don't know if you saw Brady's presser, but he was pissed. He was out and out, pissed, and he came right out and said, you know, we made some shitty plays, and which, you know, he's usually pretty composed in those things, and he was upset. And so I think they wanted to come back strong this week and, you know, clinch the division and really kind of get into the, you know, kind of start going into the playoffs here in a strong manner. So that's what they're doing. So.
Yeah, and so, you know, you get a good vibe there. We talked about New York Jets, the up and downs, and now they're they're up again, 24-13. And the Jets are not even in the picture at this point. So we believe Rex Ryan will be, you know, let go. But, you know, your sources earlier in the show, you were telling me that that's probably not the case, and he still thinks he's a good coach for that squad.
Yeah, I mean, I expect him to be fired, but he doesn't think he should be fired. So he, in a team meeting, said, you know, I expect to be fired, telling the players, which they were probably all, you know, silent joy. But he thinks he should still be able to coach, that he thinks he's just, and I don't know, he's an idiot. But, yeah, so I don't know who would be stupid enough to pick the guy up, to be honest. I mean, after his showing in New York, I'd be even doubtful to let him be a coordinator. But that's, I guess that's me, so.
Yeah, and you look at that whole division that your team is in, Miami collapsing the last 2 weeks and then having the scenario off the field. We'll see if, you know, they keep the coach there for another year, if they make off-season changes at this point. Buffalo, I think, was a surprise division if you look at it now. I think Buffalo was the upswing team. I think they have upside for next season. The Jets, you know, with the question mark, whether they make changes or not. Miami, whether they make changes or not. We already know what the Patriots are all about, you know, pretty much stability. So I think, you know, it bodes well for 2014 in terms of Buffalo maybe, you know, challenging the Patriots for a title, given the other two teams. And then, you know, Tennessee and Jacksonville played today, and I'm just throwing that out there because apparently, you know, they're two teams that were going south, and they kind of salvaged their season. I think the Jags, the last couple weeks of the season really improved a lot. Given their 0-8 start at the beginning of the season. So you have to give them credit to at least be competitive in the last eight games of the, you know, so-called games of the season here. And they didn't lose by much. They lost by 4 points against the Tennessee. So if they would have won this week, I mean, that would have been, I think, 5 out of 6, if not. But, you know, give them credit. They actually rebounded, and they did a good job there. Minnesota, I mean, if you think about Minnesota, they lost 42-14. I think Frazier's out. If it was up to me, I think the coaching change in Minnesota, it's a sad situation for AP there. He's becoming the Barry Sanders of Detroit in my eyes. I don't think this team's going to go anywhere. I think he really needs to make a decision about what he wants to do in Minnesota, or maybe move on to somebody at some other team for the latter part of his career, just like Emmitt Smith did and everybody else has done. But, you know, just that situation in Minnesota, they just can't seem to get it together. I mean, you got quarterback issues there. You got all the intangibles, the coaching situation there. So, you know, it's just a sad situation there. And the number one pick in Houston. I mean, Houston is the number one pick, and we'll see how that transpires down in Texas. These Texas teams are just in shambles. I mean, Dallas is no different. The Cowboys winning today, squeezing by, was no, ha-ha, we're good. It just means we just survived the week with one extra point. I mean, so Philadelphia is licking their chops because if Philly wins today against Chicago, they're going to come up on a high, and then Dallas, their season is basically on the brink once again. So it's Romo antics, as somebody tweeted me, will be for next week and see if he gets them in or not. But they're always the bridesmaid for Romo and never the bride. So that's been the old saying for the last couple of seasons. Right?
Well, you know,
that's all we can say.
Yeah, I saw a tweet today that I thought was funny. They said, when did the Texas teams get to be so crappy? They said they used to set the standards. And now this is what you see, you know. And I'm assuming, you know, they're talking about Dallas's heyday when they were, you know, good, when they were the team to beat. And now, you know, these Texas teams are struggling hard. So,
And if Dallas loses, Erica, I think next week you will see some changes. I mean, I will defend Tony Romo in terms of a good quarterback. You know what I mean? A good regular season quarterback. I will defend him that, because even with the interceptions and the crucial status, he's still a good quarterback for about 3.5 quarters in each game. You know, he makes mistakes at some crucial point, but he's not a bad quarterback. So you can't even say he's a bad quarterback. You know what I mean? He's not horrible. He tends to lose games when it matters the most, which is in the last 2 minutes of the game or the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. He just seems to make decisions that obviously impact his team to a loss. And every year, They come within, you know, what, double-digit wins almost, but they never seem to get into the dance. And if they do get into the dance, it's one and out. So, I don't know.
That's my issue with Tony Romo. One is that he's touted as this upper-level quarterback, and he's not. And, no, I mean, obviously he's playing in the NFL, so he's not horrible. He's got, you know, he's obviously got some talent, but it's not enough to get them where they need to be. He's not leading that team, not only on the field but off the field. These issues we see with Dez Bryant last week and just all these different issues really points to a leadership issue as well. And for me, those are my issues with Tony Romo, is that he just can't – he's not a four-quarter quarterback. He's not, you know, however, 16 games or whatever, how many games we have in the season. He's not that quarterback. And to me, why pay him all that money if he's just going to do okay sometimes? Or if he's just going to do great sometimes? He's just going to do great all the time. So not that the losses are going to happen, but you need someone that can get the important games done, and he's not doing it. So.
Yeah, and you have to understand it's a three-phase game. So the Cowboys have never played a complete game yet this season, except for like maybe one week. So you can't you can throw it all on the quarterback, as they say, but you know, special teams, defense, and offense. They haven't gelled well enough to play good enough, and so
exactly.
You know, he's obviously the scapegoat in the face of the team, but you know, the bottom line is under his leadership, under his guidance, they've never been able to be a threat. So you know, it's not like Manning or Brady, and even Andrew Luck at this point in his career. You're talking the Colts being fourth seed and division champs. I mean, you're looking at Andrew Luck. If he gets the Colts into the playoffs and into one or two rounds, that boasts more, you know, validation than what he does in the regular season. Because the regular season is one thing, but what you can do in the postseason is what really matters, and that's where Tony Romo fails to elevate his team to that level.
Yeah, and, you know, the quarterback is always the scapegoat. I mean, you look at Matt Schaub in Houston, you know, everyone said, oh, you know, it's his fault. When, obviously, you've got offense, defense, and special teams, and when they aren't working together, you look at the head coach and say, what are you doing wrong? And Jason Garrett needs to go in Dallas. He's not doing anything. There's leadership issues there as well, because it's all a trickle-down theory. And, obviously, to me, the biggest issue is Jerry Jones. I mean, that guy... You know, but they need to make some major changes. You know, and who knows, if you do something, maybe if you put a team around the guy, and if things weren't so, you know, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but if things unstable, I guess, maybe he could feel comfortable enough in his role to do better. I don't know, but there definitely need to be some changes in Dallas.
Yeah, and then you have those two teams in Dallas, in Texas. And then at the same time, you have, you know, all these other teams that obviously hunt. Arizona is much an improved team, like we talked about earlier, since we only got a couple minutes here left in the hour. But, you know, you got Arizona improving tremendously. Unfortunately, they play in a tough division, which is the West now. You have New Orleans and Carolina neck and neck there. And somehow New Orleans here down the stretch, they're starting to falter, you know, given the loss to the Rams and then obviously losing today again. So, you know, you would have thought that Drew Brees and them would have, you know, elevated their game a little bit more, especially after, you know, doing the things that they've done in the last couple weeks, but they just faltered. Now, Philadelphia, I think, was a surprising story since we're going into Week 17. Philadelphia tonight against Chicago will be the story. If the Eagles win against the Bears, I mean, you've got to give credit to the backup quarterback, Foles, for doing an amazing job down the stretch here, and Chip Kelly for putting them in a position to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. So the Packers lost officially.
Oh, they lost already? Okay, awesome. So so Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, I'm assuming, would be the crucial games to decide, because Cincinnati would be already, I think they have the better record, so Pittsburgh would be fighting for a playoff berth. I don't know if San Diego win Thursday? Was it San Diego Thursday? So it was only between Miami, San Diego, and Pittsburgh to get in. Miami's been eliminated, technically, because Buffalo beat them. San Diego may be still in the hunt, and Pittsburgh for the last wild card. And given Baltimore lost today, we'll see how the standings are. So we'll get an updated version of all this after on Tuesday, and there'll be more clarity, and then we can dive into that next week. So, Erica, let everybody know where you're at. Gridiron Girl, where they can find your video chat and your rants.
Yes. GridironGirl.org. Write the blog there. On my Twitter page, at PatsFangirl12, you can find the link for my YouTube channel. Hopefully I can get a video out this week. I didn't get one out last week. I had finals and things, so I didn't get to it. But, yeah, so it'll if you subscribe, you'll get an alert when I post a new video. And so, yeah, that's where you can find me.
Perfect. So, and on Twitter, at PatsFangirl12, you can also follow on Twitter at GridironGirl.org. You can always go to our website at Zazzle.com/GridironBeauty for any women's Gridiron apparel. We're still having the 15% off. Use code WINTERWARMTH for any tees and hoodies on the site. And you have 50% off shipping for this whole week prior to Christmas. So you got to hurry up and get your tees and hoodies.
Nice.
You can customize them or buy them as is on the site. You can also find us on Facebook at Gridiron Beauties on Facebook and on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty with T-I-E instead of T-I-F-T-I-E-S. So Gridiron Beauty on Twitter. So for the week 16 scenarios, we'll get those updated on Twitter as they get finalized. Congratulations, Erica, on your win today for the Pats beating the Ravens. I know my Rams took care of the Bucks, which is a good sign for us on an upswing. So hopefully we get another win before the season ends. And so we look forward to week 17 next week. So if you guys have any comments, anything to interact with us, you can always find us on Twitter, both of us, at PatsFangirl12 or at Gridiron Beauty. We welcome your comments and quotes and any tweets. And we look forward to week 17 next week at Gridiron Beauty's radio here on Block Talk Radio. So, Erica, have a great Christmas. Enjoy it. We'll be back on the next following week, okay? So safe travels out there, and I hope everybody has a great time with their family and friends and having a great great Christmas this coming week.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Perfect. Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a great week for Erica and myself. Enjoy this the leftover Sunday of Chicago versus Philly, and looking forward to Atlanta-San Francisco scenario with the results. We'll see you next week on Gridiron Beauties Radio on Block Talk Radio.